You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Family Life Cycle.
In other words, I'm saying the things you can go through, it can really cause your children to see how much you're there for them. Okay? My son Chandler, he talks about it to this day. When he realized the things he went through, the fact that we were there for him, and sometimes it was rough, but we supported him, we loved him through it, that has just made us closer. But now you can use those things and further alienate yourself from your children. That your children say, listen, if they tripped about this, I know I can't tell them this. If they tripped about that, I know I can never confide in them of this. I can never talk to them. So you have to think about that. And so mature people, the term the Bible uses is be sober. Everybody say sober.
Sober.
Sober doesn't, when a person is drunk, they don't have all the faculties. They're thinking for the moment because they're not thinking things through. Well, the Bible says be sober, be vigilant, because you have to say the devil has a wrong line seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says that the aged women, older women, ought to be sober-minded and be able to teach the younger women. And so by you being the older person, you should be sober. Sober means clear thinking. I got to think about how my behavior today is going to affect my relationship with them tomorrow. Now watch this. If you are alienated from your children, that means you're probably going to be alienated from your grandchildren. But people don't think about that. Mm-mm. When they say, I don't want to talk to you. Don't come around here. I don't care where you go. Well, then they go and have a child, have a baby. They get married. But the last thing they heard, my parents don't want anything to do with me. So why should they have their children around you? And so a lot of times we're not thinking soberly about how is this going to end, watch this, after I get out of my feelings and think. Because we're feeling some kind of way about their behavior right now, what they're doing right now, about the bad decisions that they made. But after this is all over, is my relationship with my child still going to be intact? Will they still honor me, or will I conduct myself in such a dishonorable way? Watch this. That I end up getting a dishonorable discharge from my children. And so I encourage, and we've counseled many parents here in our church and who have gone through things with their children. And we've told them, I know it's rough right now, but you still got to love them. You're going to get through this. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there may have to be some tough love. Sometimes you got to make some adjustments. But you still got to maintain this thing in a way that your relationship stay intact. And the way you treat your children, when they're teenagers, when they're young adults, is going to affect how intact the future family is. And a lot of us, we haven't thought about that because we may have come from very dysfunctional families where can't nobody stand nobody and you just used to everybody cussing each other out. And can I help you with something? You don't realize something is dysfunctional until you see function.
That's the truth.
Some of y'all need to go to somebody else's family reunion.
Yeah.
And see, everybody don't cuss each other out. Everybody don't call their children names. Everybody don't call their children stupid. Maybe y'all been doing that as long as but you got. Sometimes you got to get around a functional family to realize this ain't cool. This ain't right. You know, I'll never forget that scene out of the movie Why Do I Get Married. You remember they had the one couple. They was always fighting and yelling and screaming. And when other people went to talk, they said, "Listen, y'all, this how we love." You remember that? That scene. This how your love is dysfunctional. You know, your love hurts. Mm. Your love leaves injuries. It's not functional, right? So you have to look at that. Now, I talk about this thing about aging parents. So you may find yourself at a place, and ideally you can do it with joy, that you are maybe providing for your parents, helping them with financial assistance as you get older. Or if you're not able to do it financially, you're giving them time, you're giving them effort, you're giving them energy, you're visiting them more. We've had several people in our church who are either now or in the past had to take care of elderly parents. Some of them took their parents in the home with them. Some of them, their parents died. I think people in our church, they were very active in ministry. And then they took in both their mother and their father. And both of them had Alzheimer's. Okay. But and I remember giving her the assurance, you know, of what a great job she did and what a noble thing it was for her and her parents aging years that they were there with her and she was able to take care of them. And you don't want to live with regrets about what you should have done and could have done for your parents. Now, it's easier, again, if they were a great parent, because somebody, I said this at noon and somebody sent something back to me. What about if your parents were this and parents were, I know it can be hard. And that's why I'm telling some of you parents right now, I know you strong, you energetic, you independent right now, but you're going to need their loving later.
Sure.
Okay. You're going to need their loving. And you want to be easy to love. You want your children to say so easy to love you. Because you're such a wonderful parent. You're so nice and sweet and kind. Now, I came from a family that I'm mature enough. I did things because I know nobody else to do it. Okay? Some of you hear me talk about certain relatives. They were not kind. They were not sweet. Never said a kind word. Never a loving embrace. None of that. I did it because of nobody else to do it. And I'm mature enough to not hold that against them. But it takes real... It takes real maturity and the love of God to be able to push past that. Amen? So, 2 Corinthians 12 and 14. Paul says something here. So you start off, this is how things start. 2 Corinthians 12 and 14. It says, Paul says, behold, the third time I'm come to you and I'm ready to come to you and I will not be burdensome to you. He's speaking as a spiritual parent. He says, as your spiritual father, it's not my endeavor to be burdensome to you. Then he sets out this principle. In the first part, he's talking particularly regarding a pastor, church. He said, I'm not trying to be burdensome to you. He said, and that's based upon this principle. I seek not yours, but you. Here's the principle. For children ought not lay up for their parents, but parents for the children. Y'all see that? So you start off with the parents laying up for the children. Parents providing for the children. Parents paying for the children's education if you can. Parents laying up in store for your child to get married. Okay, these children gonna get married, y'all. Okay, and some of y'all, I wasn't expecting that. That's part of you having children, especially girls. Amen. Especially girls, and I'm talking you fathers here. You know, if anything you can prepare for, you should prepare for. So the Bible says, children lay up for the parents. Okay, and then as a result of that, Proverbs 31. And 28 talks about that virtuous woman, what she does for a family, what she does for her children. And then Proverbs 31 and 28 says what happens? And her children arise up and call her blessed. So because of what you've done for your children should now want to bless you. They honor you. They esteem you. But all that's based upon how this relationship has gone on. Okay, your children should rise up and call you blessed. And then a husband, too, blesses her and calls her blessed and honors her and praises her. So you want to live your life in a way. This is talking about the woman, but, you know, the same thing can apply to the fathers as well. It's saying that our children should rise up and want to bless us because of how we've done them. Okay, so now, like I said, obey may no longer apply, but honor is always going to apply. So the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. So honor means to esteem highly. Honor means to esteem their word. Honor means to give them authority and some influence in your life and allow them to speak into your life. And I mentioned this a few weeks back, but in Exodus 18, we see we don't hear much about Moses' natural father, but we see later that he had a father-in-law. And his father-in-law, as we see, became a spiritual advisor to him. So Moses is out in the wilderness. They crossed the Red Sea. And his father-in-law, his wife, and his children are back with his wife's family, Jethro. And so he hears how they come to the Red Sea. And one day, Jethro, along with his wife and his children, they come into the wilderness to see him. And so Moses tells them about how great God's been to them, how they came across the Red Sea. Jethro rejoices with them. And let's pick up here in verse 13. I'm reading from New Living Translation. The next day of Exodus 18, 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning to evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what are you really accomplishing here? Who in your life can say to you, what are you really accomplishing here? Who is it that can help you evaluate what you're doing? He said, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning to evening? Moses replied, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. He said, the people need me. And when a dispute rises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the case between and the quarrels between the parties. I inform the people of God's decrees. I give them instructions. And Moses' father-in-law said, this is not good, Moses. This is not good. You're going to wear yourself out and the people. The job is too heavy for you to handle by yourself. Listen to me. I'm going to give you a word of advice, and God's going to be with you. Then you can continue to be God's representative, the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes before him. And we know that Jethro goes on and tells them, listen, divide this up. You know, appoint leaders and elders and let them be over hundreds and fifties and give them various responsibility. My point is here, Moses is an adult, but he still has a relationship with his father-in-law that his father can speak into his life and give him counsel. So even though Moses hears God, even though Moses is in the presence of God, God told Miriam and Aaron one time, he said, listen, I talk to y'all in dreams and visions. He said, but I talk to Moses face to face. So we know Moses had a face-to-face, intimate relationship with God, but he still had a relationship with his father-in-law, that his father-in-law could speak into his life. And so what I'm saying is, older parents, you want to still maintain a relationship in, to such a degree that your children allow you to speak into their life.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about even when you're older, maintaining these relationships and making sure that you still got a bridge from one generation to the next in every stage of your life.
And I would like to also add, because it speaks of how Moses had an experience that his father-in-law never had. Yes. Moses grew, and Moses had an intimate relationship. He spoke to God face-to-face. But even though he had this experience and had this knowledge, he did not get lifted up in pride that he no longer could hear. So young people, sometimes you become more educated than your parents. You'll go places that they probably never would ever have gone. But you still want to allow them to speak into your life because you honor them as your parents. And you also value them because you deem them wise just because of the years. Not because of their experience, because their life years here on earth. So that's a real challenging thing to kind of balance as you grow and as you develop. And as you have experiences that some of your parents won't ever have, that you still honor them.
So that's part of honor. Honor is allowing someone to speak into your life and esteeming them. Okay? Now, conversely, in 1 Samuel 2, we read about Eli and Eli's sons. And so I'm reading New Living Translation again, 1 Samuel 2 to verse 22. Eli was very old, but he was aware. That's what stands out to me. He was old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that the sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Okay? Now, he's the high priest. His son, the priest, if you allow me to say, he's the assistant pastor. He's the pastor. His sons are the assistant pastors. And he knew what they were doing. The people would bring the sacrifices, and before they could make a sacrifice, they would say, listen, give me a piece of that. That looked like some good barbecue there, rather than sacrificing to the Lord. The women, when they would come down to the temple, they were seducing them and sleeping with the women down at the temple. Okay? Yes, y'all, this is in the Bible, not the haves and have nots, the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Okay? And so watch this. And verse 3, Eli, we kind of see this little soft approach Eli has. Eli said to them, I've been hearing reports from the people about the wicked things you're doing. Why do you keep sinning? You got to stop, my sons. There comes a point where it wasn't up to them to stop. It was up to him to stop them. Okay? And I don't think that this dishonor started when they were, it manifests when they were adults. I think it started early by him not enforcing the principles of God. And so now they're raised and they're older now, and they're just doing what they want to do. Their father's old and he knows what they're doing, but he never, watch this, because watch this, if they honored his father, it didn't matter whether he could take them or not.
Right.
When I say take them, I'm talking about beat them. See, if you when your children are small, they may obey you because they're scared of you. When they're older, you want them to honor you because they respect you.
Right, right.
You know, what I look like? I'm in my 50s. I'm standing up the channel. Let me tell you, I know you may be 30, but I still take you. What's that about? Why we even got to go there? If we got to go there, there's obviously something really wrong in this relationship that we got to try to make this thing a physical thing.
Wow.
If this relationship has been right, he honors me. That it never has to come to that. And so Eli's son, they didn't honor him. And the Bible says as a result of it, I don't believe he conducted himself in an honorable way, and his children didn't honor him. And as a result of that, his family was taken out of the priesthood line. And his children were, God brought judgment on their children. And then they were put out of the priesthood. So, Till told me this honor thing. Honor your parents. I'm talking to two groups here. I'm talking to those who may have just launched as a young independent adults and young families and all that, and you still have older. But I'm talking also to those 40 to 60 who you're out, but you got older parents. Honoring your parents, it also means to requite. Everybody say requite.
Requite.
Okay, remember the story of Romeo and Juliet? It was a story about unrequited love. It wasn't given back. One loved the one, but initially the love was not returned. The word requite, it's a word that's used in the Bible. It's an old English word, and it means to pay back. So watch this. If you've been a good parent, your children should want to pay you back. They should want, and that may be financially, but it may be in any way that they can honor you. And so it's taught in the scriptures. It means to pay back, it means to give back. And during these middle age years, this is often a time to repay and your parents. Hopefully you'll become, you're at a point where you're at least financially stable, okay? Where you can do things for your parents, where you can put some more energy and effort to help them. And this is in the scriptures, Matthew 15, 5 and 6. It's talking about here that they were supposed to repay their parents. And some of them were saying, well, what they did for me is a gift, and I don't have no money to give to them because, I got some stuff to give to God now. And Jesus said, if you don't honor your father and your mother and you're trying to free yourself from that commandment, he said, you're making a word of God of none effect in your life. Okay? And then look at 1 Timothy 5. I want you all to see this in the scripture, because the early church, if people did not have children, the early New Testament church would take care of the elderly, particularly elderly women. But the church did not have unlimited resources, so Paul said, now, we're going to have to screen these people. Mm. We've got to screen these old ladies. And he started putting some criteria. He said, don't start taking care of them unless they're 60 and older, number one. He said, tell old women up to 60, keep yourself together. Get yourself some new weave, put some makeup on, and get yourself another husband. That's the scriptures. He said, I'm telling you, I'm just using y'all. He said, let them remarry. That's what he said. If their husband died, he said, tell them keep yourself together, get married again. Okay? I ain't making this up, y'all. I'm paraphrasing, but all this is in the word, believe me. I'm not making this up. Okay? And then he says, so 1 Timothy 5, 3 and 4, he says, honor widows. This word honor here, watch this, y'all. I want y'all to see this. Is a financial word. He's talking about providing for, paying, giving money to. Okay? Search it out. It's a financial word. Honor, pay back, help, give financial assistance to the widows that are widows indeed. Okay, here it is, verse 4. But if any widow have what? Children or what?
Grandchildren.
Or nephews is what the King James Version says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And other versions say grandchildren. Then let them learn first to show piety at home. He's talking about the children the nephews, nieces, and grandchildren. Let them first show pride at home and to, here's that word, to do what? Requite. There it is. Requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. He says, God says you should give back to your parents. Honor them and help them as much as you can. You know, it's particularly all the more so if they need it. Okay, my children honored me. Like I said, it wasn't, I didn't need the money, but just the fact that they got together and put money together for me for Father's Day, that was a big thing to me. Okay, you know, not that, but that they would even think to do that. And a lot of people were thinking, well, they don't need it. Okay, when you honor somebody, it's not just because they need it. When you honor somebody, it's because you esteem them.
Right.
Amen. So he said, honor the widows. And he said, and then down the Amplified, that verse says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, see to it that these are first made to understand, watch this, that it is their religious duty. He said, not just nice thing to do. He said, it's a spiritual obligation to defray their natural obligation to those at home. And to make return to their parents or grandparents for all their care by contributing to their maintenance. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. So helping out your parents, your aging parents, is not just a nice thing. It's a biblical thing. And the Bible says it's part of our religious obligation to do it. Now, I know we say today they got Medicare and they got AARP and they got Social Security. Okay, but that wasn't the case in the Bible, and many times those things are very insufficient, and so some of you, I'm telling you, you need to be thinking about this even while you're younger. You need to be thinking about how you're going to assist. Some of you may be financially, some of you may not be financially. Okay, some of you when you get ready to buy that dream home, you're gonna need to think about where mama gonna live. See, I know some of you ain't thought about that. Okay? All the bedrooms upstairs. On the third floor.
Yeah.
How mama gonna get up there?
Yeah.
See, you got again, you're in a stage right now.
Right.
And while you're in one stage, you gotta be thinking about the next stage. Okay? Let me see the hands of those of you in here who unexpectedly had a turn. You had to start giving assistance or helping your aging parents in some way. Let me see the hands. Look around the room, y'all. It's a natural thing. Sometimes they could take sick suddenly. God forbid they get old and have a fall. That's the main thing I've seen. If they have a fall, my goodness, I mean, so much can just go downhill, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. My grandmother lived till she was, 92? And she was always sharp. I told you, she would call us on my birthday, call us a couple of days before the birthday to tell us now, you know, I'm getting older now. I don't remember your birthday. I didn't remember to send the card. But she called me 2 days before the birthday to tell me my birthday's coming up. Okay? And up until her, and she remembers everybody's birthday, my grandmother lived on the third floor, okay, in our family home on the third floor and had a fall. Coming downstairs to the first floor where Mom and Daddy lived, okay. And Mom and Daddy, she said, I tell Mama to stay down here. She won't stay down here. And sometimes I know it can get rough, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do to protect your parents.
Yeah. And so sometimes we think our parents are going to get older before you have to jump in there. But sometimes it's not just them aging mentally. I mean, physically, they could be aging mentally. Or there could be a sickness, or there could be something that happens. And you're thinking, my dad's 50, 60 years old. They're still young. I wasn't expecting to take care of them. So you're not just taking care of them when they're in their 70s. Some people are taking care of their parents when they're in their 60s. Some are taking care.
They have health issues.
Right. Some are taking care of them when they're late 50s. So that just doubles, it lengthens the care that you might have to take care of regarding your parents. So you got to make plans. You got to be prepared.
Every family will go through stages in life. You may be the single adult trying to find your way, or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already lost your kids into adulthood, and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.